come to the close of these meetings with the burden of my heart as to what to share. I want to thank you for your hospitality, the many meals that were offered, the gift that you left with us. We trust that anything that is said be to God's honor and glory, and anything that should not have been said cause it to fall. I was going to warn you about this morning, but I think we should be always ready to share testimony. I'd like to just open it up to you to share your testimony from the whole week. Anybody have anything to share? If not, it's all right. I kind of put you on the spot tonight. After the service tonight, I think Vernon and I had related a little bit together. I'm going to turn it back to the home ministry to close the service after I'm finished. But I want to share some more, and I'm going to also ask my wife to join me in the back for the last night. One of my other revivals many years ago, they've done that, and we thought it was enjoyable to do that, to meet the people for the last time. So when the song is sung, I'm going to ask her to slip back there with me, if that's permissible. We're living in exciting times when we can witness Bible prophecy being fulfilled before our eyes. And I want to look, first of all, at prophecy that has been fulfilled already with Israel, and prophecies that are currently being fulfilled. Go with me, first of all, to Isaiah 11, 11 and 12. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. And what he's saying here is that Jewish people will be regathered in unbelief from the four corners of the earth. And I think we see fulfillment of that in the 20th century, have we not? For the second one, I want to take you to Isaiah 66 and also to Ezekiel. In Isaiah 66, verses 7 and 8. Before she traveled, she brought forth, before her pain came, she was delivered of a child. Who hath heard such a thing, who hath seen such a things, shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travaileth, she brought forth her child. Now go with me to Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 37. Verses 21 and 22. Ezekiel 37, 21 and 22. And say unto thee, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them to every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore at all. This is talking about, I believe, the regathering of Israel as a nation, which was accomplished in May 14th, 1948, when Harry Truman was president. He had a Jewish friend. And he came to Harry Truman and he said, Harry, give us our land back. He pled with Harry for that. And against all advice, he was advised not to. He got on the broadcast radio and made the announcement that Israel is going to be reestablished as a nation. And it was accomplished. Fulfillment of this passage of scripture. And then in Zechariah 8:4, verses 4 to 8, Zechariah chapter 8, verses 4 to 8. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, There shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls, playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, If it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. We see the prophecy of the regathering of Israel. Let's go to also to Ezekiel 36, 34, and 35. In Ezekiel, chapter 36, 34, and 35. Okay, chapter 34 to 35. And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, This land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and the desolate and the ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I the Lord built the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I the Lord have spoken it, and I will do it. The land of Israel will be reclaimed from its desolation. Once again, we find fulfillment in the 19th and 20th century. We find that the Hebrew language will be revived. Look at Zechariah 3:9. I'm not going to turn to that. We find fulfillment of that. And all nations of the world will come together against Israel over the issue of the control of Jerusalem. We find that being very current today. These are prophecies and many more that will be fulfilled even after the church is taken out. But people had regathered to Israel again, and where there are over 3 million people in Jerusalem today. There are Jews across the world that are saying, we want to go home. I knew a tailor in the town of Ephrata, personally knew him, and He said one day that he just wants to go home. He doesn't know what it is. And Jews are always welcome in Jerusalem to come home. Those are some of the signs that tell us we are getting near to the church being taken out. And we could have went more into depth in some of that. But as we look at some more signs that lay before us tonight, 2 Timothy talks about perilous times and the coming of perilous times. And I believe, brothers and sisters, we are there. Very perilous times. It will be in the last days. 2 Timothy 3:1. This phrase is often used to describe the gospel dispensation of Christian age. Used by Joel and applied by Peter. Used by the writer of Hebrews. Our brother talked about the race. We must continue and be faithful to the end if we're going to be saved, if we're going to experience eternal life in heaven. We seek a country that is yet to come. Similar phrases are also used to describe the perilous times that we live in. The end of the age, 1 Corinthians 10:11. The latter times in 1 Timothy 4:1. The last hour in 1 John 2:18. Since the cross of Christ, we have been living in the last days. We are living in perilous times. The nature of perilous times is described in 2 Timothy 3, 2-5. Let's turn to the beginning of that chapter and just look at a few of those verses. 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 3. Let's begin reading at verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Dear ones, tonight we are living in perilous times. People will be lovers of themselves. They'll be lovers of money. They will be boastful and proud and blasphemous, and they will be disobedient to parents. The disrespect for authority in the world today, I believe, has crept into the church far too much. Unthankful, unholy, unforgiving. They will be slanderers without self-control. They'll be brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, and haughty. It describes the times that we're living in. And they will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Does that creep into us sometimes? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God? In Paul's day, Romans chapter 1, verses 28 to 32. Romans chapter 1, 28 to 32. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And that tells me, brothers and sisters, tonight that when one is consistently going to do wrong, God will eventually let you go. If we walk against truth, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignant whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, with understanding the covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgments of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. The nature of perilous times. People will be lovers of themselves. That's the day that we live in. They will be boastful, proud, and blasphemous. Slanders. Without self-control. Despisers of good traders. Headstrong and haughty. Be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. People were filled with all unrighteousness and sexual immorality that is running rampant in our day. They were filled with wickedness, covetousness, and maliciousness. They are full of envy, murder, strife, and deceit. That's the day that we're living in, dear ones, tonight. That is the day that we're living in. They were whisperers, backbiters. You know what Proverbs says about gossip, slanderers? Dear ones, this afternoon, it is sin. It is sin. We destroy each other. It is the conduct of people that creates perilous times. And that's what we're living in. We're living in the last days. Perilous men to avoid. Like James, perilous men to avoid, who will lead gullible families and women away through trickery and deceit. While their victims are ever learning, they never come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. Their profane and idle babblings lead to more ungodliness. Men unlike the Apostle Paul, who are steeped in wickedness. These are the perilous times that we're living in. Immorality times, wickedness at its fullest. It's expedient that we are living in the last days, and that we have our roots deep into the Word of God, and that we know where to find peace and rest. Apart from repentance, there'll be no entrance into the kingdom of heaven. How are we going to survive in living in these times? By avoiding those who reject the truth and lead others astray. By carefully following the doctrines and the manner of life of men like the Apostle Paul, who was once a persecutor of the church, but who gave his heart to the Lord on the way to Damascus. If you consider yourself tonight a follower of Jesus, then you should pay close attention to his instructions to you. In Luke chapter 21, 36, I'm going to turn to that before we move on to other signs. Luke 21, 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. It says in the last days there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. The Bible tells us that. Wars and rumors of wars. Are we not living in such a time? New York Times, August 7th, 2003. Indeed, the New World Order is only producing a faltering, fading peace. Events are going to grow worse and worse as time goes on. Why is our civilization bankrupt and workable solutions to global peaceful cooperation among nations? Norman Lear said this. He clearly looked at the problem in a speech addressed to the National Press Club at the time. At no time in my life, said Lear, has our culture been so estranged from spiritual values. Our problem lies beyond the reach of politics, he says. We have signs in society. What are those signs? One of the categories of signs is to be looking out for things in nature of society. In Matthew 24, let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. We have to find a lot there. Chapter 24, verse 37 to 41. Matthew has quite a bit to say about the last times. In Matthew 24, verses 37 to 41. But as the days of Noah, so shall the end of time be. So shall the end of the Son of Man be. For as in those days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in that what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his home to be broken up. We're going to leave off there. But we find here that what the Lord is saying here is that I'm going to come back in a time when the earth is as it was in the days of Noah. And brethren and sisters, tonight we are there. This morning, this afternoon, we are there. It says about in the time of Noah, it says the imaginations of the heart were only continually evil. Where are we at? What do we have today? And I think sometimes we get too used to it. And we have a generation of people today that know very little about the days when these things weren't happening. Immorality at its fullest. The gender change and all of that. God has it clearly outlined in the scriptures. Genesis 6 describes the days of Noah when mankind's minds were focused upon evil. In the days of Noah, immorality, I believe, was at its fullest. And violence was everywhere. The Apostle Paul spells it out in detail in 2 Timothy 3, 1-4. We just went over all of that. Another sign is that there's signs of technology. Go to me to Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. Where Daniel makes a prophecy about technology. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And we would say we have tremendous increase in knowledge. That's another category. There'd be an explosion of technology. What do we have today? It can be used for good. We talked about that Saturday evening. It can be used for evil. How are we doing? Jesus foreshadowed nuclear weapons in Luke 21 in speaking of people fainting from fear due to the powers of the heavens being shaken, and how people will wish to hide underground to escape the devastation. In Revelation 6:15, I'm going to turn to that. Revelation chapter 6, verse 15. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bound man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Now I know that this speaks after the, during the time of the tribulation, but we have men today, we have people today who are fearing. There's tremendous nuclear power out there to blow the whole world up. Man will only go as far as God will allow them. Think how amazing it is that the 20th century people began on horseback and ended up in a rocket. We have signs. Third sign is this: signs of world politics. That is another category. The Bible prophesies a very specific end time configuration of nations, of politics. We could go to Ezekiel again. While we're here in Daniel, we weren't just in Daniel. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 2, 36 to 41. Daniel chapter 2, 36 to 41. Okay, begin reading at 36 in chapter 2. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong in iron, as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces, and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces. And Bruce, and whereas thou sawest the feet of toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with marred clay. Daniel prophesied that the Roman Empire would be revived. Now, really, this began with the formation of the European Union. If you differ with anything that I say tonight, that's fine. I share it as I see it. We all know that from the time of President Obama and with our president today, the power of the United States has went down. And I don't see them anywhere in the powers of the end. But I'm not saying how all that should be. But I don't see the United States in the final end battle, in the battle of Armageddon, when the Lord destroys the enemies of Israel. I believe that we're on the threshold of facing things in America as God's people that we have never faced. I believe we're close. Let's go on to the next sign. We have signs of nature. As a result of all this turning away from God, God will increase the signs of nature. Natural disasters of every type increasing greatly in frequency, intensity, like birth pains, are God's ways of calling people to his attention, to repent and return to a loving relationship with him. Jesus stated in Luke 21:11 that there will be great earthquakes in various places, plagues and famines, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. And I believe that in the end of the last half of the tribulation period, there are earthquakes that are going to take place like this world has never seen, because it mentions earthquakes there. But there are earthquakes becoming more and more in places where they haven't been before. The increase of these things, if you look at statistics, are definitely on the rise in a tremendous rate. Just last Thursday, there was a tornado swept through Ohio and pretty much splintered a town. These things are popping up. More tornadoes, more fears than ever before. God is trying to wake people up. God is endeavoring to wake people up. May we continue to pray that God will wake more people up. And even us, to detach us from the things of this world, the wealth of this world. Another sign is drought and famines. And there will be famines in Matthew 24:7. Worldwide famines. We need to get rid of more cows and all of that so we can bring this world back to where we want it. So we can make it a better place to live. That's not what my Bible says. And I don't think it's what yours says either. But they're endeavoring to make it a better place. We talked about earthquakes and the intensity of it. Another sign is iniquity. It's getting worse and worse. Let's go to Matthew 24 again. I want to go back there. Matthew 24, verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Who ever thought that we would get to the place that we are in the United States of America in the iniquity we have in our nation today? When we have leaders that are promoting gender change, when we have leaders that are promoting same gender marriages, that's not what God says in His Word. The growth of coldness, the drawing away from the faith and from the things of God by the professing church will be the demonstration that they are only professing by lip. A lip professing people. Jesus said in Matthew, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven." God help us to be a faithful people. Another sign is the economy. And it's been talked about. It's been talked about among the nations. About a cashless society. Doing away with the cash. How will all that be? We don't know. But we need to be ready to face things we haven't faced before. And have a World Bank. And look for a worldwide currency. Dear ones, we're on the threshold of seeing changes that we've never seen. There isn't one person here tonight that doesn't know what it was like without cash. We have disease epidemics. We have, the Bible indicates clearly that there'll be disease epidemics, which will be part of the spread. The COVID-19. Many people not knowing how to relate to it. They proved to us one thing, that they can shut the churches down. Was it right or wasn't it? I'm not sure, but there finally came a point. We decided that it's time to start having church. Every 100 years since the 1700s, there was an epidemic. Starting in the 17th century is what we have record of. In the 1900s, it was the Spanish flu. Many people died. Another sign is that we're close to the end is that the gospel of the kingdom of God is preached to all nations. We're in nations today. When I was young, we would have never thought we'd have got into. Never saw it even being possible. These are signs of the times. But he endures till the end. And our brother made mention of that in our devotions tonight. Shall be saved. We must endure to the end. I covered things very rapidly tonight. There would have been a lot more I could have said. But God deals with sin in one of two ways. Either in grace or in wrath. And the fact that our Lord Jesus did not return yet is a fact of his proves his mercy. The Bible promises over and over to those who have accepted Jesus as Savior during this age will be delivered from God's wrath. Romans 5:9 says that we shall be saved from wrath, from the wrath of God through him. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 states that we are waiting for his Son from heaven, who will deliver us from the wrath to come. The promise is again repeated in 1 Thessalonians 5:9. But tonight, if you're under the wrath of God, this is your opportunity to repent. God is a God of love. He gave his Son for you and I, who died on the cross and arose again. The Bible clearly teaches that God never pours out his wrath without warning. He has been warning and warning and warning. But someday it's going to be ended. Someday it'll all be over. Where do you stand tonight? Are you under God's wrath? Because you haven't accepted his free gift of salvation? Are you under God's grace because you have? Will you be one of those raptured up with God's church, with the church of Jesus Christ? You have a decision to make. If you haven't accepted Jesus tonight, that this afternoon yet is another opportunity for you. If you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, your sins have been forgiven and forgotten. He removes them as far as the east is from the west. Mark 13, 35 to 37, therefore keep watch because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or at dawn. But if he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. Tonight, this afternoon, is yet another opportunity for you as we sing a few verses of invitation hymn. What will the number be?